morning, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Mankind has and had and is still having a real hard time with admitting that there is a God, let alone that He is in control of everything. He's in control of our planet. He's in control of our universe, and He's in control of infinity and beyond. I couldn't wait to say that, but anyway.
Amen.
You're welcome. People don't want someone overlording them, because they may just have to do the things that they may not want to do, but it is the right thing to do. Everything has a consequence. If you do good things, there are good consequences that come back to you. If you do bad things, you have bad consequences come to you. And unfortunately, in life, we see that God has told us, He's given us the Ten Commandments. And by the way, they're not the Ten Suggestions. They're the Ten Commandments. And even Jesus gave the commandment, who said, "You are my friends if you keep my commandments." And by the way, even if the last battle will ultimately end up the same way, when God said, "You will do it my way or no other way." Mankind is unwilling to be controlled by God. In the Word of God, we have been given a revelation, or may I say, insight that has been inspired at the beginning of mankind. And when God created the heavens and the earth, in the beginning God created the universe and the world and its occupants and its planets, and then His crowning creation, He created mankind. And Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by Him." And here's where they miss it. "And for Him." God created it for Him. I am not here because of me. It was not my choice to be born. And not one of you can say, "Well, I plan to be born." If you do, you've got some explaining to do to your mom and dad, amen. And we live in a world that says, "Hey, we just popped out of the mud, and we slithered up on dry ground. We grew some arms and legs, ran around and ate bananas, lost our tail, and all of a sudden, chink chink, became a human being." Wow, that takes more faith than believing this. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, 'Let there be light.'" Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12 says, "Who hath measured the water in the hollow of His hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance?" The other day we were at camp and I saw this rock about that big, and I thought maybe that rock probably weighed 30 pounds, maybe 40 pounds. And I told a kid, I said, "Look at that." And they didn't know what I was getting at. And I said, "Look at that." I said, "Is that very heavy?" "Oh, yes, it's heavy. Could you pick it up?" "I don't think so." I said, "All right, now I want you to turn." And I looked up Storm Castle Reef. And I said, "Think how much that weighs. It's incomprehensible." And God said, I want to read this again because you get so tickled thinking about it. Isaiah 40, verse 12. You ought to mark that in your Bible. Isaiah 40, 12. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand?" Boy, God must have a big hand, amen? "And meted out the heavens with a span." In other words, measured them. "And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales." That'd be a pretty good sized scale. "And the hills in a balance." That His creation would be there for, you know, His creation was there for a fellowship. He wanted us to show our love to Him for what He has done. I was just back in Michigan, and I was looking at the woods, and I was looking at the soybean fields, and the cornfields. And I was thinking, man, isn't God good? Farmer said, yeah, look what I did. Yeah, you took the seed. From where you got that seed, you don't know where that seed came from. You stuck it in the ground. You put a little potash and some sulfur and maybe some nitrogen in there. And you cover that hole up. And now what do? You watch it grow. And all of a sudden that little seed gives its life, and all of a sudden two little feeder leaves come up. And the little roots start taking, and there's moisture that comes. Oh, did you put the moisture on? Well, some of you guys do, but in where are we, the farm in Michigan, you don't need moisture. It just comes automatically. It's called, dear God, we need some rain. I prayed that the other day. I know my prayers are heard by God, and so are yours. It's been raining for 3 days in Michigan. I tell you, some boys down in Oklahoma ought to do that, amen. But anyway, and that old thing has just come up. And you know what you farmer do? Oh, you come here and just pick it. And you thrash it. What do you do? My daddy said, isn't this the easiest thing in the world? All God does is tell you, put that thing in there and it grows up and you just go up and pick it up. Amen. What a deal. What a deal. Who did it? God did it. He said, everything I ever got on this farm, it wasn't for me, it was for my God. The whole realm, without form and void, the Bible said, of this world. And it's interesting, the Hebrew scripture reads in the world of the form and void of the Hebrew, it says without, are you ready for this? I'm going to teach you some Hebrew. Without tuhu and buhu. Tuhu, buhu. Without form, without void. Let's say it. Tuhu, buhu. My, you're great scholars. Good night. Bilinguals. Amen. Without form, literally, it laid waste and formless and confusion in unreality and emptiness and nothingness and empty shape. That which was empty and unrest, wasteless, wasteland, wilderness, place of chaos, void means emptiness and light waste. And may I say, creatio ex nihilo, he created out of nothing. When God turned over the Garden of Eden to his created couple, it was a perfect order. And God said it was very good. Very good. You know, when God says it's very good, man, that's very good. And you can't expound on that anymore. There's not even a hint of sin on this earth. Everything was perfect. God had made everything very good. When studying the Bible, many of us like to put a timeline, a kind of chronological, how things really went together and how things came to being and what supposed to be doing on this earth. What am I supposed to be doing here? What are you supposed to be doing here? Sometimes we use what we call a timeline, and we call it the seven dispensations. Dispensation, that's just a big word for periods of time. To see God created and have fared with God and the outcome of going in the end. First of all, God, when the earth was made and God made everything perfect, it was very good. And he made, on the first day, God created the heavens, the earth, and darkness on the face deep, and he created water. And God said there was light. So we've got nothing, tuhu and buhu, and we got out of nothing and void. And he said, here we go. He makes light. Second day, God made a firmament. He put a bubble of water over top of the earth. And on the third day, God separated land from the water. And that's when we started getting our grass. I call that the grass and herbs day, amen. And apples with their seed. Every bite in an apple. Every time I bite an apple, bite too far down, pop out comes a seed. And I think, man, that's the third day, amen. And on the fourth day, God set all the planets and the star and the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. Thank God for that. Lewis and Clark had never made it across here unless you had your grandparents and great-grandparents from over across the pond, England and Norway and Sweden and all the other places come over here. They had never made it over here without those planets and those stars in order. On the fifth day, God made all the fish of the sea. Man, aren't we glad about that? How many like to go fishing? Amen. Yeah. I know some of you have been telling me, and you know what's pretty neat now? People are bringing pictures and showing me, yeah, I caught this fish. And now I can't say, sure you did. And I said, yeah, right there it is. My grandson showed me one this morning. Somebody else showed, Brother Jim showed me one this morning. He made a nice fish. And he made the fish. And then he made all the birds of the air. The other day I was over to see my cousin who died of cancer, and we were standing there, sitting in the cool of the morning, and all of a sudden I heard this. What in the world was that? It was a hummingbird. How cool is that? They look like they're kind of, they're kind of like. And then you move, they go. They're gone, man. They're the coolest little helicopters I've ever seen in my life. On the fifth day, God made those birds. Made the geese that go honk honk. Made the ducks that go quack quack. Made the chickens that go. Yeah, anyway, made all that. Made the eagle. Oh, I love them eagles, man. You know what an eagle is, don't you? It's a seagull dressed up in a tuxedo, amen. You know how different they are. And boy, God made all them wonderful birds, amen. And then on the sixth day, God created all the land animals. He made the cows, and the deer, and the elk. And all them wonderful things, and the poor antelope getting shot at, and this week, and made all kinds of good stuff, amen, that we can put on. I read somebody's T-shirt the other day. It said something about I love deer right next to my mashed potatoes, amen, but. It's a wonderful thing. God created all those animals. He made a monkey. Woo, woo, woo. You know, and made the monkeys and the orangutans. And some of them remind us of you. But anyway, on the sixth day. And then God created man. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in the spirit of life. And he became a living soul. Every time I go to the hospital and some of you ladies and daddies say, preacher, I want you to hold our baby. I get to hold the boys first, and then Marcia gets to hold the girls first. That's how it works, amen. And I'll pray with that little one, and the first thing I say, I'll hold that baby. And you heard me, many of you heard me. Being at church for 30 years, you know, I've been around a lot of you guys. Now a lot of those babies I held, I'm holding their babies now. I say, you know, I hold in my hand a little baby. And this little baby has a living soul. And that little baby will either go to heaven or go to hell. I pray to God that you raise that child right and raise him to love Jesus. Amen. It's amazing. So God, in the age of innocence, God made all these. But, of course, every time man... Time man does something, God tells him, now here's a commandment I want you to do. I don't want you to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He could have used anything, but he said, I don't want you to eat that tree. Because if you eat that tree, you will surely die. Now you remember the story. Satan comes, finds Eve by herself, tempts her, convinces her, and then Satan destroys sinlessness and innocency forever. Not a one of us are sinless. All of us are sinned. Every one of us is sinless. We all have bad thoughts. We all do bad things. We all say bad things. Amen. Or oh me. Amen. One or the other. We do it. Because of what? Because sin entered into this world. Because mankind was disobedient to the cause and to the course and to the commandments of Lord Jesus Christ. And every time a person puts on a stitch of clothes, he's saying, I've been cursed by sin. God gives mankind another chance to serve Him and trust His Word, and that it's age of conscience. And God, here God moves man into a new realm. He moves him out of the garden. He told him that he is to do good and is responsible for his action. He is to sacrifice. He is to live in his conscience. And mankind shows off his true heart. And of course, flounders in sin, and God saw the wickedness. This is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. You look that in your Bible, and it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination thought of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6, 5. Read it again. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. The Bible says in Jeremiah that our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. Who can know it? And the next verse it says, God knows our hearts. That's why you and I need to be constantly going to God and asking forgiveness of our sins. That's why we should constantly go to God and say, dear God, there's some things in my heart that I should not do and things that I've said. Lord God, forgive me of that. Put that on the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John 1:9, thank God for that verse. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness? How many this morning, don't raise your hand, but how many this morning said, you know, I'm a sinner? Well, what do you do with all those sins? Well, you have a place to take them, amen. The Bible says, I'll take your sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west. I'll cast them in the deepest sea and remember them no more. Unfortunately, we got a lot of people that are humans that still remember our sins. God does not remember our sins. I love that song. What sins are you talking about? Jesus says when we sing that song. But I'll remember your sins and you'll remember my sins and we're a mess and you know it. Amen. Pass the biscuits. Whatever. And so hopefully we're wise enough to go to God and say, dear God, forgive me of my sins. And who's it going to matter except for God anyway? Amen. So God destroyed everything that was great by the worldwide flood. And God tells man, a guy named Noah, He said, I want you to build an ark. And I want you to save your family. And talked about just Noah. And He tells us about how it is so important that we as Christians come back to Him and give our lives to Him. And this great flood came. Oh, what a terrible, devastating flood it was. The flood came and was gone. Every mankind and every beast died upon the face of this earth. Except for Noah, who found grace in the eyes of God. Was Noah a good man? Amen. Found grace in the eyes of God. Did he do wrong? Mm-hmm. Just like you and I. But he found grace in the eyes of God. Boy, what a change. What a change he'd given us. Boy, I hope to tell you. Mankind shows off his true face every time, don't we? We always need, and on and on. I could go today and just tell you all the way through the age of conscience, and then the age of the promise. That was Abraham, and Abraham was promised. And that's why we're to bless Abraham. We're supposed to praise God for the Jews. We're supposed to pray for peace for Israel. God said it, amen. God said, you mess with my people, I'll mess with you. You bless my people, I'll bless with you, amen. I figured that you ought to just keep what God said. I heard a fellow the other day fussing with me about that. And I said, whoa. I said, what did the Bible say? Well, the Bible said, but. I said, well, but always negates everything you said. And I said, no. I said, this is what the Bible said. And I told him, I said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. That's what God says. Well, the age of promise come. Then the age of the law. That's when Moses took the children out of Israel. Did that work? No, it didn't work. And Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. And what did they do to Jesus Christ? They crucified him. Then God gave us the age of the church, which we're in today. We're in the age of the church. And of course, we're looking for the age of judgment. That's the 7 years of tribulation that's going to happen on this earth. I hear people telling me all the time. I talked to a guy on an airplane the other day, and he was just so concerned about what was going on. I said, wait a minute. I said, have you read the Bible? It wasn't a guy in an airplane. It was my cousin. A cousin I just met. I hadn't met him before. And he was all concerned about this and that. And the government and politics and just full of all that stuff. And I said, wait, have you read your Bible? He said, not very much. I said, well, if you read in Revelation, you know that these things are going to come to pass. There's a lot of problems going on. The Bible says there's wars, rumors of wars, and fighting. As in the day of Moses, as the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming Son of Man. And I said, these things are going to happen. And I said, they got to happen for Jesus Christ to come back. And we need to know those things. And there's a day coming that we as Christians, the age of the church is getting about over. And we look for the rapture, the rapidio, the catching up, the carrying away of the church, the carrying away of the Christians, those who trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The trump of God shall sound, then Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up and will ever be with the Lord. Boy, that's great peace to me. You know, I don't know about you, but it's crazy out there. This is a world that we're living in, a crazy world. Some of you guys have been overseas. You know it's crazy. It seems like they just lost all bearing and all sense. See a guy going to a theater. By the way, that reminds you shouldn't go to a theater, amen. Shot them all up. Crazy. It's crazy. Why would a man kill a bunch of people? Why would he even shoot a little 3-month-old? Why would you have a 3-month-old in a theater at night that night? But anyway, it's crazy stuff. But this should not scare us or give us fear. This should encourage us as Christians saying, you know what, he's coming back. He's coming back. And let me answer this. What if today was the last day on planet Earth? What if today was your last day? And you died. Where are you going? Going to heaven? Has it been a time in your life you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and asked Him to come in your heart? Has it been a time in your life you said, dear God, I believe that I need a Savior. I'm not doing very good here, and I need someone to save my life. I need someone to give me life everlasting. I need someone to get me through all this life. Can you do it yourself? No man ascended up in heaven yet by himself. No one ascended is Jesus Christ, and He's the one that says, hey, I know the way, I'll take you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's God's promise to you today. Won't you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? This world is, yes, it's pretty crazy. But this world has a God that loves us, for God so loved the world. And you can receive Him as your Savior today. I beg you to do that. Take care of it today. One of these days, He's coming. Are you ready? If you're not, you can be by inviting Him to be your Savior. Simple as that. Jesus said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How hard is that? I remember when I was a little boy, and I was just in that barn last week, and I remember coming out, I was messing around with this calf. We just bought a bunch of new cows, and this cow, the little heifer, giving birth to the little calf, and it was standing on the end of the feed trough, and it was a great big feed trough, and I just brought down some hay, dumped it in there, and I went over and touched that little calf, and that little calf went, wah! And all of a sudden I heard that, wah! And this old cow with big old horns thought that I had messed with her little calf, which I was just trying to be nice. And this cow proceeded, thinking that I was going to hurt her little calf, got into the hay, into that hay feeder halfway in, and when I seen her come, I jumped and pulled myself up through the chute we put the hay down. And my feet were dangling close enough for that old cow to hit me with her horns. And she was not happy. You know on cartoons where the smoke comes out of their nose and their eyeballs are red fire? That's what it was. Have you ever heard of being scared spitless? I couldn't even holler. And this old cow, oh man. The rodeo was on. Finally, I got out the word, "Dad! Help!" My dad came out. He had a pitchfork in his hand. He took that pitchfork and hauled off and smacked her on the south side of going north, amen. And boy, she whirled around and she took off. I guess she thought the pitchfork was nothing to mess with. And I came down and hugged my daddy. I was so scared. I thought she was going to get me. You know, that's just the way sometimes we are to Jesus. God, help me. And I pray today that you know Jesus is your Savior. You know, He'll come just like my dad came to save me. Immediately, He'll come and He'll accept you as your Savior. And He'll promise to take you to heaven and you can live with Him forever and ever. What a deal. Forgive you all your sins. Get to heaven and get a brand new body. Oh, it's going to be someday. I got so much to tell you, but time's up. I hope that you come to Jesus today. I hope today you say, you know, I need a Savior. I need a Savior in this crazy world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of heaven. I pray, Heavenly Father, there'd be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that this would be that crowning day. This would be the day of salvation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I've wondered that. I've questioned that. But I'm just not sure." There's a God in heaven that loves you so much. And that He has died on the cross to save you from your sins. And He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I pray today that you would pray and say, "God, I need a Savior. I need you today. I need you to come into my heart and live within me." You're here today and say, "Preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved." Right there where you're sitting, you can pray this prayer with me. Say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now." If you're here today and say, "Preacher, I did that today. I prayed that prayer." Would you lift your hand? I will not point you out. I won't embarrass you. God bless you. Anyone else? But God bless you. Today, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I'll pray it one more time for you. "Dear God, I need a Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day." You're here today and say, "Preacher, I also pray that prayer." Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity that we can trust you as our Savior and trust you that there's a day coming that you're coming back for us. And Lord, that we'll be ready. You always said in the Scriptures, "Behold, today is the day of salvation." We're not to wait till tomorrow. But today, I pray today would be that day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing? You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that today." Why don't you step out of that seat? Walk down. If you're standing by somebody, just say, "Excuse me," they'll get out of your way. We do this all the time. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. But I need to know Jesus as my Savior." Why don't you come right now? "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I just don't know if I'm on my way to heaven or not. I'd sure like to know that." Why don't you come right now? Let me ask you this. You're here today and you've been saved. Have you followed Lord and believer's baptism? Have you done what the Bible said? "They that gladly received His word were baptized." The same day we're added unto the church. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at." Why don't you come at this time? Let's be a help to you, an encouragement to you. Will you be an encouragement to us? Boy, you ought to be a part of a local church. You ought to be a part that preaches the Word of God, soul wins, believes the Bible is the truth. You hear today and say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. You hear today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I just don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. Let me show you in the Word of God how you can know that today. Are you saved? Someday you'll stand before a holy God. The Bible said it's appointed on a man wants to die, and then the judgment, he will judge you and what you did with his son, Jesus Christ. Have you trusted Jesus? If you didn't, why don't you come do it now? Do it now. Do it now. Quickly now. Quickly do it now. Say, you know what? I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm going to ask Jesus in my heart.